Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
This morning our scripture reading will be from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. 1 John 3, 16 through 24. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Please be seated.
One of the greatest challenges found in the New Testament, and therefore bound upon every Christian, must be that known as single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. Now, I don't know how many sermons through the years you've heard on this topic, and I certainly don't know when you might have most recently heard a study along these lines. But I invite you this hour to take your Bible and open with me as we begin in 2 Corinthians 11, noting verses 2 and 3. And as we begin this study, single-mindedness is a biblical concept. As I mentioned just a moment ago, it is bound upon you, it is bound upon me, it is bound upon all of us who practice New Testament Christianity. We are challenged daily to be single-minded people. Now, I know perhaps some of you in our audience prefer to take notes, and I always appreciate that. Here's a definition that I would like for you to write down, if that's the case. I don't remember the author from which I derived this, but this is how one author defined single-mindedness. The arrangement of one's life around one central purpose. Simple, isn't it? The arrangement of one's life. In other words, men and women strive. They exert effort. They do diligence, as it were, to arrange, to build their lives around one central purpose. The word that I would draw your attention to here is probably the word one. An interesting study can be done in the New Testament when it comes to the word one, and we'll do that here in just a moment. But as we look now to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, notice what Paul told the Corinthian Christians. He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, verse 3, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, if you're reading from the King James Version, as am I want you to circle that word simplicity there at the end of verse 3. This is our word. In fact, three definitions or three brief remarks might be noted regarding this Greek term that is translated simplicity. Number one, simply write down single-mindedness. This strikes at the very core of what we're discussing this worship hour. Single-mindedness. The arrangement of my life and of your lives around one central purpose as we travel through this world. But number two, also the word sincerity needs to be noted. This Greek word translated simplicity involves a sincerity. It's not merely outward pretense. It's not merely form or ritual. This emanates from the heart, and that's most clearly evident in the word single-mindedness. The heart of man, the mind of man. You and I must be sincere in this effort. We cannot be content to go through the motions. We cannot be content to simply have the form, the right, but not have the heart involved. And then number three, a final remark about this word, simplicity, mental honesty, inward fidelity. Mental honesty, inward fidelity. Brothers and sisters, it's been said that life is lived from the inside out. And you know, biblically speaking, I believe that's true. The wise man of old said, keep thy heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. And then he continued, for out of it are all the issues of life. If you and I do not first get our hearts right, if there is not first that sincere desire to love God, to do His will, to arrange the entirety of our lives around that one central purpose of fearing Him and keeping His commandments and thereby bringing glory unto Him. If that doesn't emanate from the heart, it's useless. It's null and void. And so it is, we're talking about single-mindedness. The ESV here in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 3 translates it, a sincere and pure devotion. A sincere and pure devotion before God. That's the arrangement of our lives around that purpose. I want to live my life in devotion to Him. Another modern translation uses the terms pure and undivided devotion. I think the word undivided there is helpful because after all, it is single-mindedness because it is undivided. When something becomes divided, it becomes multiplied. It's no longer single. And remember that James warns us in James 1 in verse 8 that a double-minded man, for example, is unstable in all his ways. Now, brethren, herein lies the challenge for you and me. That's the challenge right there. We live in a world that strives constantly to divide our attention. And then also to divide our allegiance. And there are so many distractions bombarding my life and bombarding your lives on a daily basis. And so the struggle, the fight, as you and I seek to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, is to keep those things shut out. To keep our eyes fixed, as it were, on the heavenly goal, and to live a life that is arranged around one central purpose. Now, a moment ago, I alluded to the fact that it's interesting what the Bible says concerning one. Open your Bibles with me now to the close of Luke 10. Near the end of that chapter, we'll begin reading at verse 38, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus our Lord, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha was upset and she brings her complaint to none other than Jesus himself. Lord, bid my sister Mary to get up from listening to you and to come in here and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about, and circle it there, circle it. Thou art careful and troubled about many, many things. You know, that so often describes Cliff Goodwin. That so often describes, I dare say, every one of us in this room. If we let our guard down, if we become distracted, if we lose our focus, it's so careful to become preoccupied with many, many things. Anything from our jobs to our hobbies and pursuits to even our families. But then in verse 42, Jesus said, but, and here it is, one. Circle it. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This coincides with our very sermon title, Single-Mindedness. The arrangement of your lives and of my life around one. Jesus says, there's one thing that's needful. You know, as you and I face eternity, there's one thing that really matters. The arrangement of our lives around one central purpose. One more verse and we'll proceed into the body of our discussion. In Philippians 3 and verse 13, the apostle Paul would write, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You and I might say in modern vernacular, I don't consider myself to have arrived. And how important that is. If the apostle Paul, especially at this point in his life and in his ministry, if he did not consider himself to have arrived, then how dare I, Cliff Goodwin, how dare you, how dare any of us consider our spiritual lives to be to a place of satisfaction, a point of complacency and apathy. In other words, we've already arrived. Paul says, no, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But then notice this. He says, but this one, circle it, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, exerting, straining forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Now, brethren, having laid this foundation, if you would please consider with me three brief points pertinent to our discussion of single-mindedness. How is it that I, Cliff Goodwin, can live a more single-minded life? How is it that I can meet this challenge better on a daily basis? And not only am I preaching to myself, but how is it that you, my brothers and sisters, can do the same? And that we together, as we live in this world lost in the darkness of sin, that hereby you and I can better be shining lights. That our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers can look at us and can observe our lives and see the shining light of Christianity emanating from a well-ordered life. A life that is clearly arranged around that one central purpose. Three things. Number one. First of all, let's talk more specifically about some of these challenges. We have the challenge of clouded thinking. Clouded thinking. I've already mentioned a moment ago that life is lived from the inside out. And that if we have spiritual problems have their root in our hearts and in our minds. And to be corrected in totality, the inside has to be corrected as well. Isn't it interesting in James 4 and verse 8 that James would write, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And then he added, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This is at least the second time in his epistle that James mentions that double-minded person. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Now chapter 4 and verse 8. You can remember them quite well in that fashion. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your minds, your hearts, ye double-minded. And yet far too often we have clouded thinking. We have skewed values because we've allowed the world around us to influence our value system. We know what the world values. The world values money. The world values business success. The world values popularity or prominence or power. And all too often, if we're not careful, we let our guard down. And though that thinking, that philosophy influences the way I think or the way you think. Skewed values. Coming from a worldly perspective. You know, the world focuses solely on this life. It's all about the next moment. It's all about the next day. It's all about the next opportunity or the next venture. For many, it's all about the next conquest. They're wrapped up solely and entirely in this life. That's a worldly perspective. And yet within each of us, there yearns a soul. There is an immortal soul that's going to be somewhere forever and ever and ever. And the world ignores it. And if you and I are not careful, our thinking too becomes clouded. Our attention too becomes diverted and distracted. And all of that results in an improper focus. Is it not clear from what Jesus told Martha back in Luke chapter 10? When he stated that her sister Mary had chosen the better part? Her choosing to sit at our Lord's feet and to hear the instruction of His Word was not to say that what Martha was doing was bad. It's not to discount the importance of hospitality. No, not in the least. But in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture, nourishing and feeding the soul is far more important, infinitely more important than feeding the body. Mary had chosen the better part. And it is the Word of God that helps us to keep that proper focus, that prevents us from having clouded thinking. I love the way Peter described it in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. When he challenged his readers, he said to gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto thee. That wording there, girding up the loins of your mind, that's an interesting statement. In biblical literature, anytime we read about girding up something, then we know that we're dealing with preparation. We're dealing with readiness. And here Peter takes that figure and he applies it to the mind. He applies it to our thinking. Brethren, there is the challenge of clouded thinking. And may God help you and me to rise up to that challenge. Purifying our hearts, as James put it. Getting our thinking right. Getting our heads screwed on straight. To paraphrase the words of Peter there in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. But number two. Not only is there the challenge of clouded thinking, but there's also the challenge of cluttered lives. Cluttered lives. Open your Bibles with me now to the book of Luke once more, but this time chapter 8. And as we turn to the early portions of Luke 8, you'll immediately recognize the context to be that concerning the parable of the sower. Some say the parable of the soils. But have you ever thought about the description given to the thorny soil? The thorny ground, if you will. In Luke 8 and verse 14, Jesus described it with the following words. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, they've heard the word, just like all the other types of soil in this parable. They go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What is it that stifles too many lives of children of God? Might it be the very thing Jesus identified here? Too many cares in this world and in this life? Too many riches in this life? Too many pleasures to divert and to distract as we live this life. The cares, the riches, the pleasures, all of these things, if we're not very, very careful, brethren, amount to cluttered lives. We become, as that proverbial expression, having too many irons in the fire. We've just got too much going on. I mean, you know, between my career and that promotion I'm after and between our hobbies and between the pursuits of our children, we're just busy. We're terribly busy. Indeed. Indeed. Once our thinking has become clouded, then it is all the more easier for our lives to become cluttered. And for that single-mindedness that once was ours, the day especially we put on our Lord in baptism, and for that one moment in our lives, we knew what life was all about. We knew that we had been given a new lease, as it were, on life. We had been made new creatures. And we knew that what it was all about is living the rest of my life from this day forward to go to heaven and to take others with me. But somewhere along the way, that was lost. Somewhere along the way, our thinking became clouded and our lives have become cluttered. And now we're just too busy. Brethren, instead of single-mindedness, that is, number three, a divided allegiance. That's the third challenge. See, something has claimed our allegiance now. This world. Now, we might not think that way. We might still be here in a seat every week, week in and week out. We come and we're in attendance. But deep down inside, our allegiance is gone. Our allegiance has shifted. In 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John writes concerning the love that God hates. That's the way one author put it. I think that has probably been used many times through the years. The love that God hates. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Where we begin reading, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, see, if his allegiance has shifted, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then John concludes in verse 17 for this subsection. He says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what we need? We need an undivided allegiance. We need often in our lives, we need a recentering. It's interesting that we've defined single-mindedness as the arrangement of one's life around one central purpose. Using the principle of centrality to denote the importance of devotion to God. But when we think about the book of Colossians, this devotion is expressed both ways. In Colossians 3 and verse 11, we read that Christ is all and is in all. The centrality of our lives revolving around Jesus Christ. But then in chapter 1 and verse 18, we read about priority. The fact that he, in all things, has been given the preeminence. A word meaning that he's first and that he's foremost. And so utilizing both descriptions, it matters not whether we speak of centrality, Jesus is the hub of it all, or whether we speak of priority, Jesus is first and foremost. In either case, we see the need and the challenge of single-mindedness. We really need to get back, many of us. We really need to get back to remembering what is most important. Why we are here. And I don't mean here in these church services. I mean here on planet Earth. And that is to fear God. To keep His commandments. And thereby to bring glory and honor to His name. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. Dear friend, we've come to the portion of our service now where you're about to be given the opportunity. The invitation is about to be extended to you. That if you have not yet given your life over to the Lord, if you have not yet made the necessary steps to center your existence, your daily walk around the one central purpose of loving God and doing His will, that opportunity is about to be yours. The Scriptures make it abundantly clear that without faith, without trusting in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The Scriptures continue by pointing out the necessity of repentance. I would dare say that to some extent or another, there are many people in our world that believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the historicity of Christ. They might even believe in the deity of Christ. And yet that belief is not strong enough to prompt repentance. That conscious changing of the will in which a man or woman decides, I'm not going to live in sin on purpose anymore. I'm not. I'm turning away from it. We've all been commanded to make that spiritual decision, Acts 17 and verse 30. The believing penitent soul then must confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's a confession that involves and entails His identity as the Son of God, His deity when it comes to His very nature and essence. And having made that confession then, the person is ready to be immersed in water, to be scripturally baptized for the purpose of remitting, washing away one's sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Dear friends, only then do we begin to center our lives around this one central purpose. Only then is the beginning. Brothers and sisters, most of us here on this Lord's Day morning, I know, have done those things. And really, today's sermon is for us. It's for me. It's for you. Because see, once we've named the name of Christ and once we've put Him on in baptism, that's when the devil really comes after us, it appears. He really is diligent in distracting our hearts and minds, in diverting our attention and gaze, and in keeping us from being single-minded people. He wants nothing more than for you and me just to blend in. Just to blend in at work. Just blend in. Just to blend in our neighborhoods and in our communities. Just blend in. Just to blend in this world. You and I don't have that luxury. You and I were not called to blend in. Do you hear me? You and I were called to be salt. Called to be light in a world of darkness. Philippians 2 and verse 15. Brother or sister, if you need to make correction in your life today, I hope that you'll do that. If it can be done privately, I hope that you'll do that privately between you and your God. But if the nature of it warrants that something be done and handled publicly, as your brothers and sisters, we stand ready this morning to hear your confession, to pray with you and for you as you repent in your heart. And the Bible assures us that God forgives. James 5:16, 1 John 1 and verse 9. I challenge you this morning to live a single-minded life. The invitation is yours.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.